So our theme for IPHC Women this year is Rise and Build. And I wanted to share just a little bit about the biblical foundation and the heartbeat behind this focus. I think it's important to note that we believe in women and what they contribute to the kingdom of God. And I'm personally really excited for the ways that the Lord is calling women to rise and build right where they are. So in this episode, I pray that it just encourages and inspires you to do just that.
Our theme for this event is Rise and Build. It's really our theme for the whole year for IPHC Women. And so I just want to spend some time today casting some vision for where this theme comes from, just kind of walk it out with you for where I feel like the Lord is leading us as IPHC women, and just hopefully inspire you today. You know, back in the year 2020, our theme was Rise, Stand, and Go. And we took this from a passage of scripture in Acts. It's chapter 26, verse 16. It says, "But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you've seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you." And so we took the action words from that passage of scripture and built our theme for Rise, Stand, and Go. And then 2020 happened, and not a whole lot of action was taking place. Events were canceled. We got stuck in our home. And so that last action word of go, really, there wasn't a whole lot of going that took place. And so as we begin to seek the Lord for the direction that he wanted us to go in 2020 or 2021, rather, we really still felt called to this rise theme. But we sensed he was kind of taking us in a bit of a different direction. And so I began just to meditate on the story of Nehemiah. I think many of you will be able to identify with the place Nehemiah found himself in. And so our theme verse for this year comes from Nehemiah 2:18. It says, "And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. And then they set their hands to this good work." And so much like last year, we took action words from this scripture. And this year we're focusing on the words rise and build. And really this year we want to equip you with the components of building. You know, 2020 was a beast. We were stripped of normalcy. We were stripped of our fluff and our comfort. Kind of began to reassess our priorities, what was important to us in our personal lives, in the life of our family, and how we were on a discipleship journey personally and with those around us. And I really just sense that we are in a stage where, regardless of what our circumstances look like, regardless of the aftermath of what 2020 left us, it's kind of time we start building again. I don't think that we can afford to sit on the sidelines any longer. There's gospel work at hand. And so that may require rebuilding, or it may require a build from scratch. And so, you know, if you think about a building project, I don't know if any of you have taken on a building project. Maybe you have built a house or a piece of furniture. You've pulled out your little instruction set and become frustrated as you try to attempt to put a piece of furniture together. Maybe it's just something as simple as building a sandcastle on the beach or helping your child build a Lego tower. But you know that building is a process. And so you have to start somewhere. And so let's just tackle the story of Nehemiah a little bit and glean from it what we can about how I feel like the Lord is calling us to build in this year. Our friend Michelle Anthony, who works closely with us in discipleship ministries, she said this recently as she was kind of assessing the impact of 2020 and what it had on the church. She said, "It's time we start creating in the rubble, dreaming in the dark, and forging through the fog." And so as we explore Nehemiah's story in a little bit more detail, I want you to begin thinking about how you can begin building again, regardless of what rubble or dark or fog may exist in your life. You know, Nehemiah, he was a Jew who had been born into captivity in Babylon. He had never seen Jerusalem, place of his origin, never really known freedom. He was just a cupbearer to the king. But he got word that Jerusalem was struggling and its walls were lying in ruins. So he wept and he prayed over his city, a city to which he'd never been, and he felt called to help and rebuild. Nehemiah found favor with the king, and he ended up going back to Jerusalem to help rebuild the walls. And he led the third migration of the Jews from Babylon back to Jerusalem following Ezra. But what's noteworthy about his story? I think first we can look at the fact that he was a cupbearer. It says in Nehemiah 1:11, "O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of man. For I was the king's cupbearer." A cupbearer was an essential and vital role, but it was the role of a layman. And I think many of us can find ourselves in that place. We may feel like we're no one special. We're just an ordinary person, much like Nehemiah. But God used him. He was obedient, and he used him to bring restoration to Jerusalem. And God continues to use everyday people like you and me to fulfill his purposes on the earth. I think as women, sometimes we often struggle to see our self-value and our self-worth. And sometimes we disqualify ourselves from the things we feel called to do. I don't know, perhaps it's just fear, maybe fear of inadequacy or failure that keeps us from being obedient. But regardless, the Lord has called us to be ministers and witnesses of the gospel and has tasked us all with unique purposes to fulfill. Who knew the cupbearer to the king would go on to lead the charge to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? Perhaps the Lord is leading you to get involved in a new ministry. Maybe you're being drawn to write cards or bake goodies and share them with your neighbors. He could be inviting you to start a nonprofit or to partner with him in some other kind of kingdom work. No matter how big or how small your mission may seem, I think it's important for you to know that it matters in the plan of God, that what the Lord stirs in our heart is important. I think it's time that we don't be afraid to pursue that nudge that we feel. I think he's calling us all to his gospel mission. So don't disqualify yourself and embrace the destiny inside of you. So I think that's one thing that we can learn from Nehemiah, that he uses ordinary people just like you and I to build his kingdom. I think next, it's important to note that Nehemiah found favor. It says in the story in chapter two, it says, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. And then the king said to me, the queen is also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. The king had picked up on Nehemiah's sadness and the state, or his sadness of the state of Jerusalem. And he kind of asked Nehemiah, what's going on? And when he requested to go back to the land of his father's graves that lied in ruins, he found favor with the king, and the king was pleased. He equipped him with resources. And it's far more significant to venture into a mission with favor on our side. And so I think as we're assessing what we feel like the Lord has called us to, many times it's important to just assess, where am I finding favor? You know, sometimes I think we force our way to success. Maybe we rush it, or we push our way through doors of opportunity before it's time. And maybe that causes us to fail. I've heard it said before, shake several doorknobs until the right one opens, or the phrase, follow the favor. I think these phrases mean that we can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit into the open doors that he gives us to walk through. And so if you're feeling called into action by the Lord, commit yourself to prayer, seek out his favor for the mission, and follow in that. Don't rush it. Don't bulldoze your way in. Trust the Lord's timing and his way, because our plans are motivated by selfish ambition, or if they're motivated by selfish ambition, they'll always be second best to what God's plans are. So, first of all, Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was ordinary, but Nehemiah found favor and he followed in that favor. think thirdly, it's important to note that he did meet opposition. We see in Nehemiah chapter 2 also, says when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, official, and Geshem, listen, these are all big words, so just follow with me here. They mocked and they ridiculed. It says, "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" So he's meeting this pushback. But you see, his plan was under God's providence and the favor of the king. And therefore, we should predict that he would experience opposition. Whenever we get ready to take on work for God, we can kind of expect that bullseye to be on our back. You know, the enemy wants to thwart the plans of God before they even get off the ground. And Nehemiah answered this opposition by pointing the naysayers to the God of heaven who would prosper his efforts. Later on, you'll find that in chapter 4 of the book, he was opposed by further ridicule and discouragement, even greed and selfishness and distraction. I think as believers, we must accept that we will meet opposition when living out the plans of God in our life. And we have to learn to turn off the naysayers, their voices of discouragement. And we really just have to fix our eyes on Jesus, fix our ears on him, and listen only to the voice of the Lord during these times. Sometimes we may allow opinions of others to keep us from acting on something we feel called to do. And I think if you struggle to find your way and the voices and all the noise, if these things keep you from thinking and acting with clarity, spend some time alone with the Lord. His voice really is the only one that we need to hear. Be encouraged when you meet opposition. Likely you're walking right in the plan of the Lord. And I think lastly, it's really important to note something that I am really passionate about is that Nehemiah was a team player. You'll find in Nehemiah 3, there's a passage that kind of explains how the building was taking place. And throughout this chapter, you see many people working together. And the phrase "next to" is really utilized a lot. We see that the work of the building was not just one man's job, but it was the job of the team. And in this story, 38 individuals and 42 groups are mentioned in the building efforts. But Nehemiah's name alone was not mentioned one time during that passage about the actual execution of the building. I think that we have to know that our efforts are multiplied when we submit to teamwork and that we truly are better together. You know, Nehemiah was a strong and effective leader because he knew the task at hand would be completed most effectively by the team he was surrounded with. Sure, teamwork has its challenges. I hated group projects growing up. I was a type A person. I wanted to make sure everything was perfect, and it was hard for me to trust that the other person in our team would hold up their end of the deal and we'd execute it with perfection. That's hard. It can be especially difficult for us so-called control freaks. However, when we allow the gifts that everyone individually brings to the table to come together, it positively impacts our end result. You know, Jethro warned Moses that he couldn't do things alone and it would be wise of him to delegate tasks. So I think that we should take on this same advice. Allowing others to participate in the things God has called us to produces excellent fruit. So what does this mean for us? We've analyzed this story of Nehemiah and this passage of scripture, this verse that we're standing on this year. I think that we need to ask, where are we being called to build? What is that Jerusalem we're looking at in our life that we see needs rebuilding? Or maybe it's a complete ground up build from the bottom. Maybe it's something personal in your own spiritual walk with the Lord. Maybe you need to dedicate more time to the Word, to the Bible, to growing personally in your walk with the Lord. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you have children in your home and 2020 caused you to reevaluate whether you're really shepherding and discipling your children in your home. Maybe it's a build from within your home that the Lord's calling you to. Or maybe it's something outward in your community. Maybe some way you need to serve in the church or serve the very people that are right next to you in your neighborhood and in the places you live and work. But I do believe the Lord is drawing women to build in three different areas. I think he wants us to build our own personal life. You know, we never really fully arrive at this final destination on our spiritual journey this side of heaven. I mean, there's always room for us to grow. There's always more for us to learn. And there are more ways that we can continually become more like Jesus. And so the Lord calls us to build upon our spiritual foundation by spending time in His Word. Perhaps He's calling you to a more dedicated season of prayer and fasting. Maybe you feel called to a season of committing scripture to memory. There's so many ways to build up our spiritual foundation, and it's essential for us to build this area first so that we can be successful as we pour out to build in other areas of our lives. So we're going to build our life. We also want to build our home, and we also want to build the church and the world around us. You know, and you're building your home, the atmosphere that we help set in our home matters. How we invest in relationships we have with our parents, our spouse, our children, our friends, anyone who enters our home is so important. Our relationships, I don't think they grow passively. I think we have to be intentional about investing in them and developing them with the built-in community we find in our family. As we seek wisdom from the Lord on how to best disciple and shepherd the younger ones in our care. Additionally, we can be challenged and encouraged by those around us, our spouse, our parents, our sisters, brothers, cousins, and others. We're all just in this together trying to build the kingdom. And I think lastly, building the church in the world, you know, the Great Commission, the final commandment the Lord left us was to go into the world and to make disciples. So it's not really just this optional suggestion that He's given us. It's a calling. Like, we have to build here. That's what He's called us to do. So getting involved in our local church community and participating in the community, the Christian community, is important. Our collective gifts that we bring to the table reveal the glory of God in the world. And like I mentioned earlier, I just don't think it's okay for us to wait to see whatever this new normal is going to become. We can continue to sit on these sidelines, and I'm afraid we might miss out on what the Lord is trying to do in us personally and in the world around us. So I think we should be investing in the living of those all around us. We should know our neighbors. The cashier that checks us out to get our groceries every week, the other parents on our kids' ball team. We really sought to get to know them, to share our stories, to share the story of Jesus with them. This is how we build the kingdom. We often lead such a hurried life that it's so important that we take time to pause and really just see others. Ask the Lord to reveal to us who we should be getting to know, and our friendships and our love shown to others, Jesus Christ is displayed. And I think in that way, His kingdom is built. So I'm excited to see what women are going to build this year. They play an influential role in the kingdom of God. We're made in His image. We've been given gifts and talents that are for the good of others and the glory of God. He's calling us to rise up in this season of uncertainty, to build for the sake of the gospel. And I think it's important to realize He calls us right where we are, just like He did with Nehemiah. We're wise to pray and to seek the Lord and to wait on His favor and provision. I think we have to realize that opposition will come, but we can't stop. By building ourselves up in the most holy faith, we can have a plan to defeat this opposition. We have to embrace the team that's around us. It's vital. We shouldn't be doing life alone. There's many areas that need to be built. Seek the Lord today for how He is calling you to build in your life, in your home, in the church, and in the world around you. I believe in you. I'm thankful for the gift you are to the kingdom of God. Go rise and build.
Thanks for listening to Gather, Women Better Together. Gather is a resource from IPHC Women. We hope that this podcast is a place of encouragement and inspiration, no matter what season of life you are in. Don't forget to subscribe. This helps us reach more women. And please leave us a review or comment. We love to hear from you. Find more episodes at iphc.org/gatherpodcast. We truly believe women are better together.